Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you're going to want to grab those. And I am going to silence my cell phone, and I would encourage you to do the same. Amen. I'm going to just preface a little bit, talk about this, and then we'll get into the reading of the Word. We started this long journey a little while ago in 1 Peter, and we started our conversation. We were talking about a lot of different things. One of the things that we talked about, just to refresh your memory, is the assurance of our salvation. The assurance of our salvation. We talked through three ways we can be certain of our salvation. The number one way is it's preserved by the power of God. It's preserved by the power of God. The second, if you did take notes, it's proven by trials from God. The third is it is protected by the prophet, or I'm sorry, predicted rather by the prophets. A few weeks ago, when we ended this, actually many, I think 4 weeks ago now, when we discussed this, we discussed it, our response to salvation. And there were five things that we talked about: a call to hope, a call to holiness, a call to holy fear. Somebody say holy fear.
Holy fear.
A holy fear, a reverence of God, a call to heartfelt love, and we ended, and I hope you remember, we ended with a call to healthy growth. A call to healthy growth. We want to grow.
Yes, sir.
Look at your neighbor and say, grow.
Grow.
Can I just say this? If you are stagnant, start watering.
Yes, sir.
If you are stagnant, how do you water, Pastor Darren? Start reading the Word.
Amen.
If you feel stagnant, I felt stagnant before when it comes to living for God. I have.
Yes, sir.
So, if I'm standing up here with a microphone to be the shepherd of you, and not that I'm anybody special, I'm just saying, if it's happened to me, no doubt it will happen to you.
Yes.
And so preventive maintenance is we need to water.
Amen.
If you don't read your Bible, you're stagnant.
Yes.
I'm not even trying to preach, but here we go. If you don't pray, you are stagnant.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
It's the truth.
Yes,
if you come to church and you're like, oh my goodness, I got to be at church. Oh God. You're stagnant.
Yep.
We don't want that.
No,
that doesn't just affect you as an individual. That affects your entire family, of course. But it also affects the church body. Amen? How do I know that? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together. So let's just do a little math here. Say over half of the people in this room are stagnant. And somebody really needs a touch from God. We're going to be batting in the breeze, if you will, trying to find somebody else to agree with. So let's be healthy. Let's be a healthy church that wants to grow. And how do we do that? How do we maintain that? You can't do it by yourself. There is a reason that we have small groups. There's a reason that we have every group that we have, this praise team up here, these musicians or these praise singers, our teams. They are not a We're not a church that has small groups. We're a church of small groups. The reason that is in First Steps is so that we understand that we need each other. We're better. You've heard it. It's not original by Truth Church, but whoever penned it, whoever said it a long time ago, man, I agree with him 100%. Why? We are better when we're together.
Yes, sir.
I can look at you and you can look at me. I've seen it the past few weeks. I've seen people and talked to people that were struggling, and they have said, I'm struggling, Pastor.
Yes.
And I said, I'm praying for you.
There's
been people this week that I knew because of the calendar, what happened in the calendar over a few years ago, a couple years ago, I knew that probably today that person is struggling. And I shouldn't be just the pastor that looks at that, but we as brothers and sisters in the Lord should look at that. And we should see that so we could say, hey, I'm praying for you. I believe you can make it. I want to encourage you in the Lord right now. Amen? It's important, ladies and gentlemen. And so you can't do it on your own. Healthy growth happens when you feed yourself.
Yes.
Healthy growth happens when you maintain your body, when you maintain your heart, when you do. If you're eating like
cupcakes and fried chicken and all this bad stuff all the time, and that's all you ever do, well, welcome to a heart attack. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
We've got to maintain a healthy growth.
I did not even mean to get into all that, but here we go. Tonight,
we are going to talk about 5 social and relational areas that believers find themselves in. Peter gives instruction on how believers are to conduct themselves in these particular settings. Again, and I want you to write this down or type it in your notes. I've said this almost every single time. Again, we can operate under the same principle that we did when we started this many, many weeks ago. Praise God. The chosen generation, a chosen generation is what we're talking about. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a chosen generation. Look at somebody else, say, you're a chosen generation. What is that thing that we need to operate in? To whom much is given, much is required. We've been given breath. We've been given life. We've been given salvation. Amen? How many have been saved from this untoward generation? How many sins have been washed away? Amen? To whom much is given, much is required. So let's be the chosen generation that Jesus Christ has called us to be. Amen? Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be reading verse 11, 19, and 20. 11, 19, and 20. 2 Corinthians 5. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard. We work hard. Somebody say, we work hard. Look at your neighbor and say,
we work hard
to persuade others. Do we work hard to persuade others? Look at your neighbor and say, let's work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Man, I know there's people in this room that are about to choke that I'm using the NLT, but don't. All right? Just, we can go to the prayer room and talk about it later, but I tell you what, that's pretty intense right there. That's pretty intense scripture. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Aren't you thankful? So we are Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. God is making his appeal through us. Praise God. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We do that. He has called us for such a time as this. Do we understand, Truth Church of Denison, do we understand that we have been called for such a time as this? And he is banking on us. He don't need us. But, man, he sure wants to use us for such a time as this. He's banking on us to be the voice in Denison, Texas, and the surrounding area. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Let's show forth. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Lord, we thank you so very much for your word tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for every person that has walked in this building. I'm asking, Lord, that somehow, some way, you can help these lips of clay, this heart, this mind, Lord, deliver what you desire for us to hear this evening. Lord, I ask that, Lord, you've touched those that hear this online, and Lord, let them be a part of what you're doing in this last and closing hour. We honor you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Turn around. Now shake somebody's hand. We got a lot more people in here. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Praise God. If you've been water baptized, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if God changed your life, like I'm talking what the Word of God talks about, there is a transformation in your life. I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord.
Now I want you to look at somebody and say, that happened to me. All right, that was pretty easy. That was pretty good. That was very good class participation, and I do appreciate that very, very much. Well, the reason I say all that is because we are representatives, ladies and gentlemen. We are representatives of Christ to a broken and a messed up world. That's who we are. And so it's easy for us to talk to each other and tell each other that we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed in His precious blood. We've been sanctified, purified, and I'm walking in a holy life. It's altogether another thing to live that out every day in our lives. Amen? But we need to. We need to because we are official representatives of Christ in our world. We are. Whether you work a job, whether you're retired, whether whatever it is that you do, it doesn't matter. We are the representatives of Jesus Christ. Right now we are, and we better understand that. We got to get a hold of that. We got to put that in our spirit and our heart that, Lord, when I get up in the morning, when I walk outside of my house and I begin to conduct life, if you will, in my workplace, in my supermarket, or wherever it is that I go to do life, Lord, I am an official representative of You. And I've got to show who You are through my actions and who I am. So how we conduct ourselves is of utmost importance. Amen? You see, Jesus knew that today that I would be running a little late. Amen. And He knew that I would be driving down Highway 289 where everyone feels that it's a good Sunday stroll. Any day of the week, any hour of the day, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. And so I drive. And I look at the speedometer. And I was waiting for my sweet, beautiful daughter that was sitting behind me to do what I have done before because she just did it last week. And I said to myself, I need to shut my mouth. Because I have said, this is not confession time, but here it goes, all right? I have said, what in the world are you doing? Why are you on this road? Can't you see that you're going 60 when it should be 75. And I just go. And I'm not throwing hands up. I'm not honking. I'm not like weaving in and out of the double yellow line. I'm not doing anything crazy like that. But I am showing a little bit of temper at times. And just last week, the Lord went, see, she's acting like you do. And so I say all of that to say that our conduct, how we conduct ourselves. Now, I was in the privacy of my car when I did that, but a real pliable young lady that is 13 years old, going on 25, was sitting behind me. And man, I don't want her to ever act like that when she's behind the wheel. I don't want her to ever act like that when she's in the supermarket line, when somebody is taking their time. Doop. How hard is it? Just hurry up. Let's go. Amen. They did all these self-checkout things for our patience is what Jesus, He orchestrates everything perfectly, and He did all that so we could be patient. Amen. So if you've never used that, exactly. He's long-suffering, so He wants us to be the same. But we are to conduct ourselves in a pure and a holy and a righteous way. See, there are social settings that we can find ourselves in that we, if we are not careful, we will snuff out any kind of production, or not production, but producing something good in a moment if we don't conduct ourselves in the proper way. Peter gives the responsibility of the believer and the corresponding reward that comes with it is followed. Listen to what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll help me on the screen. It says our conduct with other believers. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles.
Wow.
Honorable. We got to be honorable. People got to think that, hey, not think, I hope that they know that these are pure people. These are holy people. They're not just Bible toters on Sunday and on Wednesday, but man, he's a Christian. I love it. I love it. It's been a couple months ago, but someone in our congregation was contacted by a high school friend, and they wanted them to conduct a funeral for them. And why did they want to do that? Because somehow, some way, they found out that his conduct had changed from what it used to be before. And so that is exactly what this scripture is talking about. He became honorable, and people recognized it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a written epistle. We are written epistles. Read. Of men. I know Jesus knows the heart. He does. And no, I'm thankful for that. But the Gentiles don't know the heart. The people that walk into your workplace don't know the heart. They haven't had a heart to heart with you. Jesus does. But we're not worried about influencing him. We're worried about influencing them. Amen? We're read. We are read of all men and women that we come in contact with. Peter starts by talking to this audience, by calling them beloved, implying they are the object of God's love. Sojourners and pilgrims, implying they are just visiting. We are not here to stay. That has got to be our heartbeat, our mindset, and others need to know that that is not our heartbeat to stay here. Our heartbeat is to go there. Everything we do is about going there. Everything we are is about going there. We need to make sure that everybody knows that heaven is our ultimate destination. That's where I want to go. I'm not telling you to get your Bible and tuck it under your arm and walk through the store. You don't have to do that. I'm not saying that. But how you live and how you conduct yourself and how I conduct myself, it needs to be known. They need to know that, yes, that person has been bought by the blood of the Lamb. That person is a chosen generation. That person is different. They got their eyes on something above and not beneath. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also wait, and largely wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking for Jesus? Are we anticipating his coming? Do we desire to be with him? Is that our heartbeat? I am not living in my forever home in this world. My forever home is somewhere beyond the blue. And I want to make sure that not only I know that, and my family knows that, and my close friends know that, but I want people that I come in contact with every single day, I want them to know that I am not a citizen of this world. I am not here to stay. I am going elsewhere. There's a standard of living that I must maintain if I am going to be in my forever home someday. Did you hear me? There's a standard of living that I must maintain if I'm going to make heaven my home. Amen? So this isn't in my notes, but let's break this down for a moment. If there's a standard of living that I must maintain to make heaven my home, then there's going to be a difference about me. I'm going to act different. I'm going to talk different. Now listen to me. We're human. And maybe we don't always want to do that. And maybe we don't always do that.
But what we must do is come to center, if you will. And we must say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I had a bad day today. That 45-mile-an-hour old lady on 289 was really making me mad. But I'm getting back to where I need to be. Purify me. Cleanse me. Lord, make me right. Lord, there's a culture that I've got to influence, not for me, but for you. And Lord, right now, I'm not doing a very good job. And so it's okay to say, Lord, bring me back to where I need to be. My home is not here. I'm not living for the here and now, but I'm living to see you. I'm living to spend eternity with you. And that's what I want to display on a daily basis. Amen. Our responsibility is to have honorable behavior among unbelievers. You see, when we're at work, we can't respond like everybody else can respond. Is it really that important, Pastor Darren? It is really that important. I can tell you again, confession is good for the soul. I could tell you I was playing a football game when I was in high school. A pure young man, a good young man. But I was in Farmersville. My wife and I argue about that particular name all the time. She's from Louisiana, though, and so it's Farmersville, all right? But anyway, I was playing a game there, and I said something on the field that I shouldn't have said. And I got convicted, Sister Tabitha. And so I go as a sophomore on a varsity football team. I go into the locker room, and we're getting the Pasquale. I'm not sure what that means. Ask Bishop. He'll tell you after service. I've heard it my whole life. I have no idea what that means. But we were getting that beat out of us, whatever that is. And it was bad. It was really bad. And so I went, and I, you know, in my pure heart, I was thinking the reason it's worse is because I said something I shouldn't have said. So it's all my fault. You know, there's sin in the camp is what it was. And so I go into this locker room where tension was not very good during halftime, and the coaches had just started on this side of us and went on this side of us and said the things that they needed to say. And I stood to my feet after all of that was over, and I said, man, I want to apologize for what I said. And man, I got shut up, sit down, and a bunch of other things were said to me. But I didn't do it. I didn't say what I said, and to this day, I don't regret standing up and saying what I said, because why? I became honorable. Yeah, it was okay for me to say, you know something? What I did was not right. Yeah, and I realized that. It doesn't matter if anybody else realizes that. I realized that. Yes, and so I became honorable again. Yes, so yes, we do have mess-ups, and we do fall short many times. Amen? But what's important is you get back to where you need to be and say, Lord, I want to have honorable behavior among unbelievers. Because it's not about me. It's about you and you living inside of me. And if he's faithful and just to forgive all sins, he'll purify me and cleanse me, and he will help me be honorable again. Somebody say amen. Peter gives them accomplish good conduct among unbelievers. Inner godly discipline. If you're writing things down, abstain. He says this: abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter is reminding the believer about the inner battle that takes place between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This world that we live in is waxing worse. The influence of this world is waxing worse. And if you think for a moment that there is not a spiritual world, then literally our heads are in the sand. There is a spiritual world, and it is waxing worse and worse and worse. And God is doing his very best to make sure that we understand that. And so he gives us a scripture that is stated here in Galatians. And he says that for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're different. They're not the same. But they want to influence each other. We live in a nasty world. And we have to understand that if we do what we wish, if we do what we want to do, we are ultimately doing what the adversary, the world, wants us to do. No, I'm not. I'm my own person. No, you're not. You've heard me say this many, many times. You can't serve two masters. But when we do what the world, we do what the world influences us to do, or pushes us to do, or the propaganda's out there and we go that direction and we move, you're serving the adversary. So yes, you may be your own person in your mind, you may think that way, but when we go the way of the world, we are serving the way of the world. Amen. But before Paul outlines the battle, he gives the way to win the battle. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Can I submit to people that are in this room tonight and those that will watch online that if we are going to be what God desires us to be, we have to walk in the Spirit. We cannot, we're going to pretend for a moment, we cannot walk to the doors at the front or the side or wherever it is that you enter this building and say, okay, now I'm going to walk in the Spirit and pick it up, or think that that's what you're going to be able to do. We can't do that. We live in a spiritual world. The adversary is vying for everyone's soul. It's trying to get you and me to influence this world in the opposite of what God wants us to do. It's trying because he knows that we have a platform. He knows that we have felt the ways of God, and we have walked in the ways of God. And so if somehow, some way, that we begin to walk in the spirit of the age instead of the spirit of God, people are going to look and say, see, told you. And it will, as Brother Trevor just stated, it will be made a mockery of. We're a chosen generation. And I'm not saying for a moment that you have to be perfect, but what I am saying, what I'm saying to myself is that we've got to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, then the Bible, it's very plain and it does not lie. It's for real. It says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It won't happen if we're walking in the Spirit. If we're minding the things of the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means that you won't do what you want to do. You won't respond how you want to respond. Amen. I go back to that story that many of you have heard already. Obviously, the individual I was talking to had not read that scripture. When he made the statement that I can curse and do whatever, and if God comes back right then, he's going to show grace and mercy to me. Well, that is contrary to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Because it tells me, I say unto thee, I'm telling you this right now, I'm giving you this commandment. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to do those things that are not going to influence properly. You're not going to do those things that are not going to bring somebody towards me instead of push somebody away from me. Somebody say, I'm a chosen generation. The answer to this inner battle that takes place is to walk in the Spirit. So we need to daily kill the flesh.
students that sit before me, ladies and gentlemen, daily we got to kill the flesh. Daily we got to look at ourselves and say, God, purify me. I repent before you. Resist the devil and he'll flee. That means don't do that stuff. Don't watch that stuff. Don't be around that stuff. Don't listen to that stuff. And he'll give up and say, forget it. Don't use that language. Don't say those things. Daily kill the flesh. Daily submit to the Spirit. How do you do that? Very simple. We talk about it here all the time. Prayer, Bible reading, and fasting. That's how we submit to it. That's how we live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Lord, I want to submit to you. If we have a hard time submitting to the Spirit, then let's try some things. Let's try to read the Word of God. Let's try our best to pray every single day. Let's try fasting and see what happens. I just told somebody this past weekend, I said, now listen to me. Calm down. Don't try to do everything at once. Try to be here on Wednesday night. Let's start with that. Yeah. I didn't give any more instruction about reading, fasting, and praying. No, I just want you to try your best to get here to the house of God on Wednesday. And then today, I would say this. If I saw this person, I'd say, okay, listen, tomorrow I want you to start reading in Proverbs. Start the first of Proverbs and just try to read at least one chapter. Because why? I understand that this person's been walking a different way. And if this person is going to try to walk after the Spirit and submit to the Spirit, then he's got to get these things in his life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if we call ourselves Christians and call ourselves Truth Church members and we don't do these things, then how in the world are we a chosen generation? And how are we going to influence the people around us? Is this all right tonight? I got to hurry. Anyway. Outer godly display. An outer godly display. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you, your endeavors, your evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Ultimately, if we believe it, we will be living it. If we believe that what we are doing, what the Word of God says, we will be living it. TSM, if we believe it, we will be living it. Amen? If we believe it, then we're going to do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And of course, because we're here a long time on Sunday, we're going to do it most of the day on Sunday. Hopefully we do it all day, amen? If we believe it, then we're going to be living it. Our beliefs and faith should always impact our behavior. Amen? I'm going to say that again. Our beliefs and faith should always impact our behavior. Can I say this? I'm glad you are here, TSM. If you believe what I'm talking about tonight, if you believe that you're a chosen generation and you've been called out from among them and you're separate, then guess what? Young ladies, young men, you don't need to look anywhere but right in the church for a significant other. Amen. Mom and dad. If you've been changed, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I know that's not popular and people don't like it. I get that. And I'm not, don't do what I'm telling you to do. Let's just do what the Bible says to do. Amen? If you've been filled with the Spirit and you believe what the Word of the Lord says, if you believe it, you'll live it. I didn't say you couldn't be an influence on anybody. Amen? Did I say that, young people? I didn't say that, did I? But what I did say
is you shouldn't have to look anywhere else except the house of God. It's important that you understand that you are carrying the torch for Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I'm not going to be a part of something. I'm not going to even try to have a relationship with something that is not pleasing to God. Amen? Change that takes place on the inside should show on the outside. I said change that takes place on the inside should show on the outside. What Pastor Darren's trying to tell you is, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you believe what the word of the Lord says, it should not only be done on the inside, but it should be shown on the outside. How you walk, how you talk, how you live, who you hang around with, etc. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Man, it got real quiet in here. My goodness gracious. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. What does that mean? That means that we got to work at it. That means we got to make sure we measure up to what we're supposed to be doing. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. You and I should be able to maintain this way of living all of the time. Amen? I get it. We will stub our toes. But when you stub, can we just say this? Do pipes freeze all the time? Do they? Pipes don't freeze all the time. But there's times that they do. When they do we just let them remain, or do we get them fixed? We get them fixed, and then we continue on. Does that make sense? When we do have an issue, when we do stub our toe, let's fix it and continue on. When I ran track a long time ago, many, many, many moons ago, when we would run, we would sometimes get in the danger zone, if you will, and that's the place where you are supposed to have already handed off on a sprint relay, and you didn't get it handed off. And so what we would have to do is we'd have to recount our blocks and make sure that our steps were right, and we'd have to take off in the proper way, and we have to make sure that we did exactly what we're supposed to do. We'd have to take off in the proper place. You'd have to mark off your little mark on the track, and I don't even remember everything that we did, but we'd mark to a certain spot, and when that runner gets right there, then I can take off. And I'd have to know my speed. And there were some times that we would mess up, and we'd scratch, and we'd be disqualified. But that mean we just throw in the towel? No. We would go back to the track, we'd practice again, we would get it right, and then we would do it again. In this race, we are going to stub our toes. You and I will never, ever, ever, ever be perfect. There's somebody a long time ago that said, this is not a perfect church by any means. But they are working their best to live as Christ wants them to live. Something to that effect on our Google reviews or whatever. You can go, and that is the truth. We are trying our best to live how God wants us to live. And in order for us to maintain this way of living, we've got to believe it. Amen? And we've got to understand that when you do stub your toe, get up, dust yourself off, ask God to create in you a clean heart, renew in your right spirit, and say, Lord, I want to be a witness to the Gentile. I want people to know that it's all right. You know, I don't plan to mess up. I don't plan to do wrong. But, Lord, what I want to do is I want to be an influence. Somebody say amen. Amen. Unbelievers will observe and glorify God. The reward is unbelievers will observe and glorify God. That means that they'll watch you. They'll see how you live for him, how you are different,
how you believe this and you walk in this way. They'll observe that, and then they will glorify God as well. So much so that believers take notice, and it will cause them to lift up the name of Jesus because our example was impactful to them. That's what I want to see happen. Yes, students, you're different. Yes. Parents, you're different. Be okay with being different. We are apostolic. We're a chosen generation. Let's be okay with being apostolic in the chosen generation. Let's be okay. Back in the day, when I was even before me, it was they're the holy rollers. They roll on the floor, and that happens sometimes. And they were okay with it. I want us to be okay with being apostolic. Be okay with being different and set apart. If by chance you don't believe that it's okay to be different and apostolic and be set apart, then why? Why do you come to church? The Bible teaches it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to teach it and preach it. I'm going to make sure it's known. Amen? I'm talking to those that are, you're here. Amen? Let's believe it. And let's be okay with being different. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not trying to push you to say amen. I'm just saying, why not do what the Word of God tells us to do and live how the Word of God tells us to live so we can be an influence? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. And our hope and our prayer is if we live a separated life, if we live a holy and a faithful life, if we live maintaining what God wants us to maintain in this earth, our reward is going to be that unbelievers that don't know Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost, that they will glorify God. They will lift him up. Isn't that the reason that we are continuing on a daily basis anyway? Is so we can influence a broken and a messed up world? I talked about it a moment ago when we started. We are his hands and his feet in this last and closing hour. And God wants us to be an example so we will impact those that we come in contact with every single day. And on that day of visitation, on that day of reckoning, if you will, I pray that God can look at us in the eyes and say, you know something? You are a witness. You are an example. You are doing exactly what I desired you to do. You are walking worthy of your calling. You are being that chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. I'm not going to be able to tell you that. But God will be able to tell you that. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm coming to a close. Matthew chapter 5. And if you're wondering, this is part A1 for part 3. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to give you some time to get there. Let your light. Students, get your phones out. Go ahead. Go to Matthew. Look at them. They're all bending down right now. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Parents, get your phone out. Get your Bible out. Let your light so shine before your family, before your coworkers, before the people that you come in contact with in the supermarket or the Sherman Town Center. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let my light, what? Praise God. If you act like everybody else, if you talk like everybody else, if we mind the things of this world and not the things of the Spirit, then what are we letting shine? Your light looks like everybody else's light, Brother David. My light looks like everybody else's light. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? But the Bible says that I need to let my light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want how I live and how I serve Jesus Christ on the inside and the outside to be made known in my conduct every single day of every single week. For what reason? Things could not have been better this weekend, or actually last week, when somehow, some way, my conduct, and again, I'm not pinning roses on me, my conduct that I had over 20 years ago now, somehow, some way, influenced someone that they made a call and said, I need some help. My life is in shambles. Things have gone awry. We can wait 20 and 30 and 40 years and say, man, did that really mean anything? Those questions have come to my mind in my past. Nobody else lived holy and lived righteous, but I tried to. Somehow, some way, when you allow your conduct, doesn't matter if it's recently you changed your conduct or you have tried your best to have good conduct since you were a kid. When you allow your conduct to be displayed in the society that you and I live in, there's going to come a day, there's going to come a time that someone will glorify God because I let my light so shine before men. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a chosen generation. Would you stand to your feet all across the building? We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Let's show forth who Jesus is. Let's show forth his power and his Spirit and what he's done in our life. Could I submit to every family that is in this room, let God live out loud in your actions, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord tonight. God, I'm asking right now that you would touch every person that's under the sound of my voice. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would allow this word, Lord, to influence the hearts and lives of every TSM student that's here in the name of Jesus. Lord, every parent that is here, Lord, let them go home. And, Lord, let there be some absolutes, some things that we are going to start doing and making sure we put into place so we can be what God has called us to be. In the name of Jesus, Lord, the only one that authors confusion is the adversary, the devil, that goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so, Lord, it is imperative as us, as parents and us as men and women of God and young people of God, that we make sure that we draw lines in the sand. This is who we are. This is what I believe, and this is how I am going to live, Lord, so I can lift your name up. And, Lord, there could be someone in this world that would glorify you because of me living out loud and living separated from this world. I want you to say it, Lord, I am a chosen generation. Come on, let him know that you know it. I am a chosen generation. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Go with the Lord. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. I will put a little spoiler alert to everyone that's in the house. There is a grand possibility we'll make the final announcement this Sunday that we are going to have two services on Easter Sunday. Two services on Easter Sunday. We will get that information out to you as quickly as possible. God bless you, and we will talk to you this weekend.